Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Yeah, I'm back. I mean, Jacob said, yeah, I thought you were gone for the whole week. Well, I could. I mean, I could leave for a couple of days.
Wait. But, you could or we could?
We could, I guess.
I don't. Well.
We're going to.
But not the whole week. Tomorrow, yeah, though. I was going to say, we're taking a long weekend.
We're getting a couple of days. We're not taking. We're being given.
Okay. Well, we'll take it anyway.
Oh, we absolutely will.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
But it's great to have you back.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. Hey, we had
bronze. Great. You look like a Kennedy brother. You're coming back.
God, I don't know about that. but back. I mean, we timed things great. We were down in Pensacola, and I mean, we had impeccable timing as far as weather was concerned. Now, all the way down there. I mean, almost all the way down there at port. I mean, it rained so hard, I could hardly see the car in front of me. That was pretty scary.
I'll tell you what, the intensity of some of these rainstorms,
I mean,
right?
It's ridiculous.
I just drove.
Just a few minutes ago.
I just drove the folks to, they're taking a little trip, and like the lowrider, Bill. Take a little trip. Gave him a ride to the airport, and on the way back, just absolutely blasted a couple of times.
Yeah, where everybody's having to run their emergency flashers and driving less than a third of the speed limit.
On the interstate, you'll see cars pull over because the visibility's bad, and
absolutely.
They'll decide to ride it out on the median, which is risky.
I don't go for that.
Risky in its own right?
No, I can't go for that, Daryl Hall.
There we go, yeah.
But no, I mean, on the way down, and then on the way back yesterday, I mean, I thought we would be back, 4:35 or so, and it was like, it was closer to 6, just because it was raining so hard. But while we were there...
Well, I gave you a little extra time to hear yesterday's show, too, right?
Well, we did. Yeah, I mean, I listened. I had to get. Let's see, north of Bruton, there was a bad area where I couldn't get internet, so I couldn't pick it up. But
we had a caller
from Evergreen.
We had a caller yesterday who pointed out, and we didn't make too big of a deal of it, going into the show. It was the last day of the Auburn Under Armour partnership,
yes,
and Auburn has put out.
Multiple.
Well, you have both the salute to Under Armour,
right,
and the show of appreciation.
And a new day. It's a new day.
Yeah, for the last couple of decades, and the new partnership with Nike, and yeah, a lot of curiosity about just how different things will look, and
I'm really interested to see how different they will. Auburn has been, and I heard you talking about it yesterday. I mean, Auburn has been. A school that you see the colors and the way they are and the uniforms, and you know who it is. Auburn hasn't made drastic changes. There've been a few things, and fans weren't crazy about all of them. I mean, I remember the shadow numbers. Folks weren't crazy about
it's
that.
Been,
the tiger eyes on the hips.
I mean,
orange face masks.
It's been a very long time since. Any sort of like a drastic change, I guess, would be the alternate, right? I mean, and that was that goes
70s.
Back to the late 70s or
early 80s. Yeah,
but I mean, no, I think that's, I mean, that's one of the I think that and recruiting are two of the spots where people immediately wonder, like, how are things going to look? How are things going to change cosmetically? And does this open the door to recruits that maybe weren't going to consider, and I don't know. I don't know how
maybe, but I mean,
I don't know how
10 years ago, absolutely.
I was going to say,
especially basketball.
I was going to say, even in men's basketball, I don't know how real that was.
I don't know now. It won't hurt. It absolutely doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt. No.
I mean, it can only help, I believe. But I don't think it's going to be anything that will be a there will be a marked change just because of that. So yeah, it is day one of the Nike era at Auburn.
Did you
get Brian to say it yesterday? Did you?
No. Well, he said it a couple. I think he did say it. I think he did say it a couple of times. That's a treat for longtime listeners.
There's a blast from the past.
No, but that's. I did think about that though yesterday when we got
the I did call. Too. I almost called in.
I did not want to make. Yeah. What are you?
Thanks to Brian for coming in Friday.
Oh, a trooper.
Really appreciate.
Yeah. No. Back to back appearances on the show for. Brian from the new outlet.
That is exactly right.
Auburn, right? I don't know whose name comes
first.
Well,
yeah, but, you know, I like the way Rivals on Three rolls, but since On Three is sort of the everything is being redirected to On Three, it may be better to be On Three Rivals.
First, alphabetically, too.
I
mean, so Auburn. On Three Rivals is what we'll go with until we know, officially. But the new venture,
I think it's still auburnsports.com though,
and I think you can get there a variety of different websites will redirect you
right
to the new home of Brian Matthews. But yeah, I really appreciate that he was willing to come in the last couple of days and help out.
Yeah, and well, we had a blast. I was just going to say we had a great time. Like I said, the weather going and coming was crazy. But while we were there, we had somehow we were able to avoid being rained on, and it rained a lot. I mean, it rained a good bit down in down on the Gulf Coast. But we get up, go out on the beach and stay out until we felt like we were toasted. We were done.
Okay.
Didn't want to be too well done, but it was crazy. We would get our things, pack them up, get them in the car, and as soon as we did that, it would start to sprinkle, and then it would pour on us as we were leaving. And we get back, and then we go into town because we stayed near downtown over there.
Sure.
You know, near the Bay Center and the ballpark and everything, and get there, and people would be, man, it has been pouring all day. We haven't been able to get out. And it's like, oh, gee, we've been out in sun, and we got there, and it would be sun for a while. So it was like that for a few days. So we had a great time.
Always enjoy.
Nice to take a long weekend.
When I get to go to downtown Pensacola with the Trojans for the Sun Belt Tournament every year, they've done a great job making it into a really fun event, a lot of stuff to do in and around Pensacola. We usually stay on the beach, and so you gotta get it's a bit of a hike to get down to downtown Pensacola, but it's still a lot of great stuff. Love Graffiti, the pizza place over by the theater,
Palafox
there, yeah,
just by the Sanger,
just fantastic. And Bubba Watson's candy shop is over there too.
Yeah, it's a little further down.
Yeah, it's right there on the
there are a few confectionaries.
Yeah, a couple things. But yeah, glad you enjoyed your trip. Always.
Yeah, we did. Good to be back. And hopefully can stay up for a short week, because including yesterday, I mean, just a 3-day week this week, as we said a little while ago, not going to have shows Thursday or Friday for the getting those 2 days for the 4th of July. So we'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind here on this first day of July?
And we were just, we talked about it a little bit there, but like, what are you going to remember? I mean, Auburn was partnered with Under Armour for what, 19 years? I mean, as Auburn pointed out in the video, like a lot of big moments for Auburn athletics.
Oh yeah,
a lot of really important things happened in Under Armour apparel, and I think for
things that hadn't happened either for a long, long time or hadn't happened.
Right, and I mean it's you could just recap the last 19 years or so of Auburn athletics, but I mean you hit the highlights and you've got a football national championship and a couple of Final Fours and a couple of College World Series appearances.
Right, and of course. Auburn had one national championship prior to that and no Final Fours before they were wearing the Under Armour.
Now, our buddy Justin Lee points out, I think Under Armour used to punt on the gymnastics. I think that was one of the sports that they didn't necessarily make. I think there was a different apparel provider for some of the gymnastics gear, but they still included because of the accomplishments.
Right.
You don't want to leave anybody.
People were wearing Auburn you know, Auburn licensed apparel that was made by Under Armour in the stand.
That's right.
Probably, I don't know. Maybe the coaches.
Coaches probably were wearing it too. You know, I mean, yeah, I think it was. You know, it's similar to. I think Boston College is a New Balance school, and it's like if it's something that they make, you wear their version of it, and if it's something they don't make, you find a suitable replacement somewhere, and you're not really stepping on toes. You know what I mean?
Well, speaking of toes, it's sort of like the shoes. That's one of the things you think of with Under Armour. I mean, the shoes were a concern early on.
Yeah,
with Under Armour,
and I think it's important to stress early on because I think they
worked very hard and had tremendous improvements, and then they were. They were definitely wearable and playable.
But we heard criticism the shoes in the first couple of years of the Under Armour having its partners wear shoes, and I think that's where Under Armour. I think they always wore shoes.
But yeah, probably. I mean, maybe way back. I don't know.
I think that predates the SEC, we can have Drew look that up. When Under Armour got into the athletic shoe. Industry, like mm-hmm. when they wanted to start making that a feature, and I think it wasn't the smoothest sort of start for them, but for the most part, it seemed like the bigger concern was Under Armour getting out of that aspect of the industry. So I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, it is a new era. No, that's another brand. But the start of the Nike era at Auburn, and on a day where I didn't expect there to be much news, Auburn adds a football transfer for this fall. Did you see that?
I did not see this.
Jacoby Matthews.
Oh wow!
Who played a couple of years at Texas A&M, very highly touted, very highly touted signee for Texas A&M. Back in 22, played 2 years, played a lot for Texas A&M, spent the last year at a junior college, and he is transferring to Auburn and will be immediately eligible, a safety at around 6'1", 6'2", 200.
Did he overlap with
Dirk? 2 years of DJ Durkin.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean, when an A&M defender is potentially – in the mix, I would think that's the possibility of someone who knows Durkin's system and reunites with him would be that would absolutely be something I would wonder about, like, is, you know, whether or not, like, this is something Durkin remembers the guy and
that's one of the things that Jacoby was saying that's made it easy for him because he understands the terminology, the system knows what's expected from DJ Durkin's defense. So another addition there, man, the secondary, you know, we've talked about it. You had the additions there at corner, and we were going, well, who are the guys that could play some of the safeties? Auburn's had a lot of guys doing cross training, working at corner and safety. That gives you another experienced guy to go back there at the back on the back end.
And I mean, it's not even about redshirting necessarily, but the fact is, like, now adding another player in that room gives you the chance to develop guys like Eric Winters and. I mean, I guess Fagans can play at a couple different spots,
right.
but I would think of those guys as, maybe you're going to lean on the veterans, unless you have a true freshman, like a Caleb Harris situation. You have a freshman who is beating out veterans and is the guy who gives you, is the guy who gives you the best reps, the guy who looks like he should be out there the most. And it'll be really impressive if a true freshman is out there, considering, like, if a true freshman's playing a lot in the secondary for Auburn this year, unless there's a rash of injuries, that's a really impressive thing because of who they would have had to beat out, right? Like, who else is available? And I mean, yeah, you want to explore your depth a little bit, but I think Auburn wants its primary players out there as much as possible, and so. Yeah, I mean they've almost freshman proofed it, right, at the safety spot, because they have a lot of guys if they want to.
Well, I'd say pretty much at just about every spot. Sure. I mean, they have experienced players that have pretty good pedigrees that have an opportunity to be starters. And if freshmen, you know, if freshmen beat them out, then I think that's saying a lot about the about those freshmen. But yes, it's a situation where you don't have to throw a freshman out there, I don't think, at any position.
Surprised to see them make a move at this stage in the game. And we talked about, they have spots and there are veterans out there in the portal.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was one, wasn't just a normal one because he ended up transferring from junior college. But but yeah, I mean, when you can add a player, and I think this is the case in pretty much any sport now. And these days, if you can add a player that can help you, period, and you think he's got a chance of helping you win a game, then you can, then you go for it.
Yeah, I would still think that the, you know, the clubhouse leaders at safety are the guys that played the most last year, which would be Caleb Harris and Sylvester Smith,
I would think.
But that's not, you know, that those aren't the only two options back there, and they can mix and match. And now DJ Durkin has another guy familiar with his system and his expectations coming in, a veteran player, like you said, who could maybe provide some relief at that position too.
Yeah, Christian Clemente of 24/7 had written the story, so credit to him for where, at least that's where I saw it first, pointing out that Jacoby Matthews as a recruit was listed by 24/7 as the number 39 player. I'm not talking the number 39 safety. The
oh,
number
wow.
39 player, the number 2 safety.
This was his national ranking coming out of
number 2 safety nationally and the number 3 player from the state of Louisiana.
I mean, he's a Jimbo recruit, right? I mean, that's that gets you back to 22, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, high school class of 22 is I mean, that's still that's right at the tail end of Jimbo. That's Durkin.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't recruiting I mean, generally speaking, they were recruiting guys that people thought could step in and play a lot.
Yeah, big time.
And a lot of them
recruit.
A lot of them have moved on to other schools.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And performed at a really high level. So, including what was it, Walter Nolan, this past year at Ole Miss, after starting his career as one of the top defensive linemen in the country, coming out of high school, going to A&M, kind of an up and down career at A&M. And then had a phenomenal season at Ole Miss and went in the first round. So yeah, I think this is a it's an interesting acquisition by Auburn, especially when you think about how highly regarded this guy was coming out of high school.
Yeah, talking about the safety room, and Christian points out that Caleb Harris and Sylvester Smith, he says, as someone who could potentially play star or safety. And then it points out Fagans and Winters. So, I mean, it gives – and they added Tay Seymour, you know, from Georgia Tech. So so that's a pretty good-looking room.
I would think with a healthy Champ Anthony, Anthony's at star and Smith is at safety, I think.
Yeah, unless Jacoby Matthews.
Well, there's, no, you're right.
And takes the job from one of those.
You're right. You got – but I'm thinking of the guys, who played some last year who were slated to return. I would think that Lee Crawford and Champ Anthony are your first three up front,
probably,
and then Smith and Harris behind them, which is pretty good. If everyone's healthy and ready to go, Lee and Crawford seemingly give you a really solid 1-2 punch at corner. KLF fits in somewhere too over here, Bill. Right.
Yes.
He's
a guy that I think could be. He's another
anywhere
hybrid.
Yeah, I mean, he could play
corner, nickel, or free.
I was going to say I haven't checked the stats or anything. I would think that he might have played all 5 spots. You know, at different points last season. He was everywhere. So he's also got to watch.
Mm-hmm. So another addition. How about that here on the 1st of July? All right, we're just underway. Bill and Dan with you here on the Tuesday Drive. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join us. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
I think we're going to try Jake in hour number 2. So
we'll
Jake,
try.
Yeah, we'll see if. He's in another country. Didn't he go to Ireland or something? Yeah, maybe he's. That's why he couldn't be on the show on Friday. So maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Jake is up.
He's not here.
Yeah, Jake is abroad. We will not have Jake.
Jake's not, well, don't call Jake that. Oh.
Oh, Jake, yeah.
All right, we'll get to our first. It's
a gala day.
Yeah.
That's the Marx Brothers joke.
That's right. We will be we'll be right back. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And again, love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the new Nike Under Armour swap for Auburn Athletics, which is in its first day. And sort of the retrospective there that Auburn put out about its two decades as a partner with Under Armour. And like we said, Under Armour seemed to be phasing out the college apparel aspect of their game, or the college equipment aspect of their game. And so I don't know what kind of advantage Nike or being with Nike or being with Adidas gives you, but you probably don't want to be with a company that's trying to phase out that aspect of its apparel. So I think it's probably a positive for Auburn in that regard. And then I think, like you said, the shoes tend to have a better reputation with Nike, and so that probably helps as well.
Yeah. So if you have any. We talked about it, though. I mean, think about the 19 years, like you said, the national championship, playing for another national championship in football, the two Final Fours in basketball. That's more than just, pretty big. I mean, that is very significant in Auburn athletics history.
Yeah, and the hope is to whether it's stay at that level in men's basketball.
Not that I'm saying the brand had anything to do with it, but I mean, still, it's that's something to be very proud of.
Well, and the 19 years before Auburn partnered with Under Armour also featured a lot of really impressive moments. So it wasn't just Under Armour, but you're right. Auburn did some things that they'd never done as a program or
did
individual
well
sports.
Russell, I mean,
yeah, exactly. Which is not, unfortunately, Auburn, not coming back. I know some people who still rock the Russell stuff at games, man. And that's, as always, you're not going to get me to say a bad word about the fine folks at Russell Athletic, but new era for Auburn, and the Nike era begins today. So today?
Today.
is
July
first official day for Auburn as a Nike partner.
Yeah. So, if you have any thoughts or memories, I remember there were a lot of people that thought, this is really going to be bad. So I mean, you wonder. I mean,
swapping to Nike.
Yeah, no. Swap when it went to Under Armour.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
No. I haven't heard anybody saying, "Oh no, this is going to be bad." Yep. Going to Nike, but you wondered. It was a concern, and it was something that Auburn had to really battle, I believe, basketball wise, with players back in the days when. Nike and Adidas were, they were the AAU team.
Yeah, I would think the correct me if I'm wrong here, Bill. I'm thinking that when Auburn made the switch to Under Armour, Under Armour was a very new company. I think a lot of people, unless you were a sports fan at that point, you probably hadn't heard of them to that point. Russell Athletic was a brand with local ties, and I think people were a little disappointed there. Under Armour was also like really actively skewing young with its advertising. Like it was cutting edge and marketing to a younger demographic and and sort of, you know, in marketing in non-traditional ways. And I think that may have, you know, maybe alarmed some people, you know, some of the more traditional folks, you know, when we're trying to remember, like, the concerns about becoming, on top of what you said about Nike and Adidas, but the concerns when Auburn became an Under Armour partner, I think some folks were wondering, like, what is this, what's this new hip brand that Auburn is suddenly, you know, throwing its lot with?
Well, yeah, Auburn's always been a fairly traditional school. I mean, it's base has usually been, and not one that has made drastic changes through the years.
Yeah, going from Russell Athletic to Under Armour
big move.
That was like in the mid 2000s. That was going from like a crew cut to a mohawk.
You're not
like it was a pretty drastic change. All of a sudden, maybe a faux hawk, but still, it was different. And now, yeah, and I think Under Armour, you could tell it was a real coup for them because they did not have very many brands in the portfolio, and they frequently highlighted the partnership with Auburn in their marketing. But it's going to be different. There's a little bit of nostalgia when you see the Auburn Under Armour logo. It's crazy to think because Auburn was a partner yesterday with Under Armour, but the fact is, like, you see it now, and it's like, oh, that was an era that had a beginning and a pretty successful middle, and now has an end. It's just, you know, it's crazy to think.
Yeah, and we were just talking during the break. I mean, the Auburn Nike apparel is coming, but it's not quite. You know, not quite here yet.
Yeah, has anyone offered any comment or
I've just seen get ready. It'll be here soon.
Yeah, it sounds like things. I would think maybe closer to the start of the fall term. You know, maybe
I hope before then.
I mean, maybe later this month. Like, I don't know exactly.
I would sure hope by August. I would hope that by August,
and I would think monitor the team store downtown, right? Because they're gonna probably be once it's out there, they're gonna have it, right? Like one would think that's gonna be, you know, one of the spots where you can, at least one of the spots where you'll be able to find the new Nike branded apparel. But it's I don't know. It's
July 25th.
Okay, is that what we're hearing about?
from the official team shop.
Okay, so a couple of weeks.
8 a.m. Central Time, July 25th. I thought, yeah, I'd gotten an email. I hadn't read all of them, but that one, yes. So that lets us know when they'll be on the shelves.
Do you think there's a chance the Grinch got to it and it was going to be ready? Going to be ready today.
It'll be ready in time for your birthday.
That's, yeah.
Won't be ready in time for Scott's birthday. No, but it'll be ready in time for yours.
Late the end of the, you know, just before the end of the month. So yeah, watch out for that. You know, that.
So you can go ahead and hold off on those gifts for Dan.
That'll be a big
couple of more weeks.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you the fund that I'll give you the routing number. for where you can send in lieu of
we've got the QR code posted right here. Oh wait, you can't see it.
Just like Coastal Baseball.
Yeah,
you got the QR code ready to go if you want to donate. It's not going to be that different.
No, I don't.
But it's going to be different. Yeah, that's the thinking. Is it, like, generally speaking, when teams have made this switch, because it's not unprecedented. Other teams have swapped before, but it's going to be, aspects of it. And I'm sure you'll get used to it very quickly. But still, I mean, like, you know, Under Armour was two decades and a lot of success, a lot of triumph, and this is something. I will say that some of the Bo Jackson related stuff does look pretty cool. Like there's some cool looking stuff coming down the pipe. So,
all right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, as you can tell, I mean, we'll head in whatever direction. We'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Bruce Pearl there. I mean, the outlook for basketball again, I mean, it's optimistic, but I mean, it's really crazy to just think about how little we know about how these guys are going to be able to fit together.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the news with Auburn men's basketball of late has been about the guys that were on last year's team, or guys who have been. I mean, there's been a decent amount of news regarding former players of late. I mean, you have the guys who, I mean, Jani was drafted. I really want it to work in the NBA with Jani. I really would love to see him carve out a role and do enough to get minutes on a team. I wonder. You know, what we sort of landed on, he's built like a four, but he plays like a five, and that's a tough spot to be in the NBA because there was a draft analyst who said most of the guys who play like Jani Broome can put their shoulder into your chest and move you out of the way, and that's not really his game.
They can put their shoulder into your chest, and they're generally going to be 2 or 3 inches taller,
right,
and bigger.
Like the guys
going to be just
the guys that folks have tried to compare Jani to, as far as his pro ceiling, are guys who I think have more of a power game around the basket than Jani, who's more of a finesse big, but still capable of getting physical. As evidenced by this past year. But I just the improvements he's made in his game will. Those will help, and I love that the Sixers prioritized him enough to draft him when they did. It's tough. It's so hard to. We've seen so many great players who struggle to move the needle in the NBA. It's such a crazy jump, and the fact that you can have Jani Broome's season and go 35th overall. Is sort of like that. That's all you need to know about.
That's the difference in college and the NBA.
Yeah, and it'd be remarkable if Jani can make an impact, and it'd be great for him. It'd be great for Bruce and the Auburn men's basketball team because I think the more former Auburn players making waves in the NBA, the better that is for the program. Jabari Smith getting a big contract. I mean, it's not too. It's tough to draw direct, like, oh, well, this is how it's going to be. But it's great for Jabari, and it's great for Auburn. I think it shows the Rockets' commitment to developing Jabari Smith, who a lot of folks thought might get traded this offseason. It also shows you how NBA salaries have changed, too, because nothing against Jabari, but $122 million on an extension, like Tim Duncan used to get.
Right.
$122 million extensions. Like all NBA, like starters in the All-Star game used to get extensions that size in the early 2000s. The media rights deals got bigger.
Yes, the salary cap got bigger.
Yeah,
that tells you how much money the NBA is bringing in now.
It was like that story a couple of years ago when Tim Hardaway Jr. signed a contract and someone pointed out that the 3 years of the contract he made, he's going to make more than his dad made in his entire NBA career. And it's like Tim Hardaway played for a very long time at a very high level. And, his son can sign a 3-year deal in the modern NBA and multiply what Hardaway Sr. made in his career. And with Jabari, $122 million extension with the Rockets, it's a sign that they believe he can continue his growth, and it's so cool for Jabari that you watch his game. He's clearly studied Kevin Durant. Like you can tell, and now he gets to play with Kevin Durant and learn from Kevin Durant in person. Now I know some guys are real excited to play with Michael Jordan And then they played with Michael Jordan, and it was a don't meet your heroes sort of situation. Kobe Bryant had some of that too, I think, with younger Lakers at the end of his career. So it doesn't always it's you know, not these guys, especially when they're still trying to be the best player in the world. They're not also trying to mentor.
They're not trying to help. Right.
Yeah, they're
they don't have the time while they're trying to, especially. You know, it gets tougher.
It gets tougher
as you get older.
And
so,
when it's year 18 and you're trying to win before it's over, you know, it's not like Kevin Durant's not a player coach, right? They have coaches, but it's still going to be, I think it's going to be really special. My suspicion is it'll be really special for Jabari to get to be,
it should be
in a locker room with Kevin Durant. Look, it could still change. Like they haven't started the season yet.
No, that's true. And like you said, it's not like that kind of money is something that would shock any other team or any other team could back away from in the right situation.
And even after making the Durant trade, the Rockets still probably have enough assets to go get another superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to win with Durant in the last couple of years of his career, maybe you'd feel better pairing him with somebody who's... And Jabari would be a very... Like Jabari and Amen Thompson, who was... We talked about the G League Ignite on a recent show and you know, sort of the way that paved the way for NIL. Like Amen Thompson's one of the stars, mm-hmm, of the G League Ignite program. Had a very good season. Him and Jabari play a similar enough style that it would, it's a little, I'm not surprised the Rockets are keeping him, but I'm surprised the Rockets are keeping both of them. Like I'd say that to this point.
Well, I mean, like, do you really think, I mean, I thought about this too. I wonder, would a team really mind that somebody has got a multi-year deal to be able to get a younger guy like that?
Oh no, I don't think this hurts Jabari's trade value whatsoever.
Because I heard some people going, "Well, that pretty much ends any possibility." And I thought, "No, not really."
I don't know, and I don't know what the rules are with the CBA as far as signing someone and then immediately flipping him. Like, I don't know if you have to wait until mid-season to trade someone that you like. I know there are rules about like signing, because they don't want people to like try to get around the salary cap with this stuff. So Jabari might not be able to be traded until mid-season or something. So I don't know what the rules are there, but the Rockets, like they have options in front of them, and the fact that they've re-signed guys that they prioritize, they've extended some of the guys they prioritize. They went out and got Kevin Durant. Like, I mean, the team as it stands now is, I think the odds would say second or third in the Western Conference going into the season, and so maybe they don't make a move. Like, maybe they feel like they've got the pieces around. I mean, they were, Drew, what was Houston? Were they the 2 seed or the 3 seed in the Western Conference this past year? And now you add, now you trade, you know, you trade some pieces you like, but you get Kevin Durant back. I don't know. I think it's a nice setup for Jabari to be in, and you know, and it's also, I would imagine, if you're Auburn University, the fact that a former Auburn basketball player gets $122 million.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't know what the you know what? I bet he's received an email or two.
You think?
From Auburn.
Yeah, from Auburn.
since news.
Yeah, don't forget.
Since news broke of that extension, I feel like Jabari's,
I bet he's gotten a couple.
Jabari's heard from the fundraising folks probably.
Yeah. Well, you look, if a lot of us have, I'm sure Jabari has.
Oh, sure. No, and I think that it's like, it's easy for me to say, well, here's how you should spend your $100 million, but it's like,
just a pittance.
No, I do wonder, you know, if you're an athlete who's made over 9 figures as a professional, like do you look at your alma mater and think like, oh, okay, they played some role in getting me to this? Like, I don't think,
with some athletes, you feel like they were just glad to be gone. They had to serve their time and they moved on. I don't get that feeling, that's the way Jabari viewed all.
And I don't want to make it seem like it's a requirement. You know what I mean? I just think it's real cool when an athlete, you know, sort of views it that way. And has the means to make an impact. Josh Donaldson would probably be a pretty good example of an Auburn player who, turned pro, did very well for himself as a professional, and has been generous with his money at the college. Charles Barkley probably a pretty good pretty good example.
He's been very good, very supportive of that too.
And Jabari now with among the things that this contract extension enables, I think, is for Jabari Smith to potentially join that list too.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Jabari Smith Jr. wanted,
he will be given every opportunity to do so.
If he wanted to, he wants his name on some stuff at Auburn. I think they'll find a way to accommodate him.
Yep. So that was cool to see that, and great for Jabari. 12 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on the Tuesday Drive. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us. Anything on your mind here on this Tuesday?
The Drive, 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one. Hopefully we're not having any technical issues. I don't know. We just had somebody call in and said they couldn't understand us. It may just be us. I mean,
I don't understand. Well, I don't understand us either. So
no, I don't a lot of the time. All right, we don't talk an awful lot of Major League Baseball, but all right, a little time has gone by since Alex Anthopoulos said the Braves are definitely, absolutely not going to be sellers. They're not playing very well.
Yeah.
They are not playing very well at all. Chris Sale has been moved to the 60-day injured list. They hope to have him back before the end of the season. They're not scoring a lot of runs. I mean, Ronald Acuña has been great since he's come back. But they're just the Braves are just falling farther and farther behind.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves as we record this, 38-45, mm-hmm. There are four teams in the National League who have worse records.
The Atlanta Braves. That is unbelievable.
All right. Unbelievable. How about this? You ready?
Yeah.
Marlins, Pirates, Nationals, Rockies.
And the Marlins are playing much better lately. I mean, aren't they getting close to the Braves now?
They are one game. They're a half game back of the Braves.
Yeah. Playing much better than the Braves are right now.
Yeah, Braves are barely above water in run differential. So, I mean, they maybe are a couple games better than their record if you look at run differential versus their actual record. But the fact is they just and 4-6 in their last 10, you know what I mean? I think the thought was, and I believed that the Braves would be a better team over the course of the summer than they were to start the season, especially after getting Acuña back. That hasn't necessarily materialized.
They are eighth in the wild card race for three spots. And what are they? How many back are they of the third wild card spot? Is the 7.5 of the last? I see 7.5 games back of the wild card. Is that of the last wild card spot? I would assume.
Yeah,
because the Mets are a game and a half up. The Brewers a game and a half, a game up, and then the Cardinals are
So it's 7.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, so seven
the Braves are 7.5 back of the Cardinals for the third wild card spot behind five other teams.
Yeah, I mean it's crowded right now, and the turnaround that I think you thought you'd see hasn't necessarily materialized. You know, it's still
And the Braves have had some ridiculous second halves after the All-Star game.
It still could, but it's
it just seems less and less.
Yeah,
likely.
every week you don't see signs of it is a week that you wonder if it's actually going to happen.
Yeah, so we will see. The Braves made a minor move. They got a guy the Pirates had designated for assignment in a deal, Hunter Stratton.
Do they? I mean, if the Braves sell, like what would be on the menu? Ozuna? Not Acuña.
Ozuna would be your top guy. Is there a pitcher they have that?
I mean, if healthy, Sale, but that's not.
But Sale's got another year, I believe.
Right, which would be
very attractive to teams if he is healthy.
I think,
he's not going to be healthy before the trade deadline.
And Alex has said, like, even if they sold, they wouldn't necessarily want to deal Sale because he's got another year, and they expect to compete.
But
like,
now,
like they've got that.
You couldn't get full value for him now anyway because he's not going to be back from the injured list, you know, before the trade deadline.
No,
which
but
is the end of this month.
I would think Acuna would, you know, like that. You're looking at that contract and thinking that's your title window.
I'm telling you, the guy. I think that they would deal. That's Ozzie Albies.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
Ozzie Albies has not been the Ozzie Albies of a couple of years ago. I mean, he's playing more like somebody. He makes me wonder. One of those guys where is he really as young as he says he is?
But is he having the kind of season where
it's going to bring a lot? No.
Where a contender goes and gets Ozzie Albies?
No, but a team that is looking for a second base. He is a switch hitter that's got some pop.
Yeah, no,
and he's got a decent track record.
He strikes me more as a guy who might get dealt in the offseason if you had to like sort of reevaluate where things are, and you like the return you could get. But it's tough, like without having a strong first half of the year, it's tough to deal a guy like that to
his value is not up.
You're almost better off keeping him and trying to hope that he plays his way out of it.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Love for you to join us in hour number two, which is coming up.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Depending on whatever part of town you're in, I mean, it could be a nice afternoon. It could be pouring. I mean, saw that just a little while ago on the way in. At my house, it had rained and it stopped. It was still steaming around the corner. I'm serious. Around the corner, it was pouring so hard you could hardly see. Then by the time I hit the bridge to cross the interstate, sunny skies. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, when you hear there is a 50% chance of rain, that doesn't mean that, you know, it's a 50-50. That means that, yeah, there's a 50% chance of rain somewhere at some time in the area. Because this time of year especially, it's raining in one place and across the street, the sun could be
shining. I always thought, you know what, when the weatherman said you got a 50% chance,
I thought he just like tossing the coin.
Yeah, it's like you didn't do the
50-50.
You didn't do your reading and you're hedging.
Well,
and you're saying it's 50-50.
That's like though when I look down, it says there is a 38% or a 42% chance. It's like, what do you mean? I don't think they can be precise enough to say there's a 27% chance of rain at 3:15 this afternoon.
You think it's the same people doing the odds in the back room in Vegas are telling you the weather?
Yeah, probably. Probably. But anyway, hope everybody doing all right here on this Tuesday. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And I mean, look, it's the 1st of July. There's Wimbledon, you know, you got Wimbledon, and what else have we got? Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Right?
Driving through Atlanta earlier today, as I mentioned, you see some billboards for you see some billboards for the All-Star festivities coming up. You got the draft Sunday night.
Yep.
The Home Run Derby Monday night. The All-Star game Tuesday night. That's all in 2 weeks. In fact, 2 weeks from today, your Major League Baseball All-Star game. 2 weeks from today, also, Bill.
I think today is the last day of voting for the All-Star.
And 2 weeks from today would be Auburn Day.
2 weeks from today will be day two of SEC Media Days and Auburn Day.
Auburn will be up for it. We talked a little bit yesterday, and I think we've speculated about this before. Like, I am curious as to who Auburn ends up.
Did you hear what you said yourself yesterday? You said, I don't want to speculate, but, and then you went in 10 minutes of speculating.
That's right. I mean, it's
there's no harm in speculating. I do think Kendall Faulk seems like a surefire. I mean, feels like he is on just about everybody's, you know, preseason watch lists and
the end of that sentence was, I don't want to speculate, but I have to.
Oh, okay.
I must.
Oh, But it's fun too.
It's my duty. It's my calling.
It's in the job description. That's
right. You gotta speculate. No, I agree. I think Keldrick feels like a pretty clear choice. It feels like quarterbacks are more often, even if they're new to the team, coaches aren't afraid.
Yeah, we've seen more of that. We never used to see that. Yeah. Never used to see that, but it's become fairly common.
Wouldn't be shocked if Jackson Arnold makes the cut. I think practically anyone on the offensive line who started a game is a contender.
You would think
Dylan or Jeremiah or Connor.
Yeah.
I mentioned yesterday that Damari is often mentioned as one of the leaders on the team when folks talk about, like, he's not a guy who has a ton of starts
right
to his name, but when I asked Coach Freeze about where leadership was coming from after A Day, that was one of the first guys he mentioned was Damari Alston. So I think there's a couple guys that they'd be very proud to have representing Auburn up there, but it's a big moment for the dudes who get selected for SEC Media Days. I would think that we're gonna get that info sometime before the end of next week.
I would think early next week.
Yeah,
early next week. So it would be a week, a week out.
Right after the holiday. Makes some sense.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, maybe you do it over the holiday weekend. I don't know. But it usually seems like it comes out on a regular news night, I believe it's three again. It's been three for the past 2 years.
I think it's still three. Yeah.
Maybe you bring Alex McPherson back. I don't know. I mean, Auburn really needed him last year, on the field, but some people feel like, so you go two offense, one defense, or vice versa. You would think with the experience Auburn has returning that it might be two defense, one offense. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think some of that's also like some of that revolves around whether or not you're taking Jackson. Right? Like, I think if you're going quarterback
right,
and two guys
first-year quarterback, you might take two offensive guys.
You might go quarterback, a veteran from the offense, and Brian mentioned Brendan Frazier yesterday, who's a guy who's been around.
Really, really good interview as well.
Really good interview and a guy who's been around forever. And from the Luke Deal school of representing Auburn
right.
from the tight end position. I think there's a couple of the and you know what, we didn't mention any of the receivers, but like, no, there's no rule stopping them from bringing Cam Coleman.
No, there's not.
And I think people would be excited to hear from him and talk to him.
Eric Singleton's being projected as a pretty decent draft pick.
Yeah. So I mean there's some options there too if they wanted to go down the receiver room. They have star power in the receiver room, and sometimes you bring your biggest stars to SEC Media Days.
Did you see Auburn? An Auburn newcomer, a preseason All American today, Rayshon Pleasant.
Oh yeah,
the Tulane transfer who was a second team All American kick returner a year ago, is I believe he's a first team kick returner by the Walter Camp preseason
FBS
All-America team.
And we haven't talked too much about what he could bring to the return game because we mentioned that it seems like Auburn with Simmons and with Singleton, like Auburn has some threats in the return game
I don't think we mentioned him when we were talking about possible kickoff return guys. He's a guy that averaged 35 yards a kickoff return a year ago.
You know, that might have actually, I think that when Auburn signed him, it may have led to a conversation about, Auburn's got a couple guys in-house.
Right.
Jeremiah Cobb. Like, they got a couple guys in-house that they like, for kick returning possibilities. But they've also got... They've also got a defensive back that they went out and got from Tulane, who's got a great reputation as a special team
player.
Only
got to return 13 kicks last year. Teams tried to kick away from him. Of the 13 he returned, he took two of them for touchdowns.
Remarkable. And one of the reasons that he was sought after in the portal, like that's a a guy that we're not. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but the. the need for Auburn to improve on special teams, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's I mean, you can
Auburn special teams, especially compared to what you come to expect from them over the years, was really, really disappointing a year ago.
And not just missing kicks, right? Like, not just missing field goals. I think that's what people think when they think of Auburn special teams last year. The special teams miscues are...
It seemed anytime Auburn got an opportunity to return a kickoff, there was a penalty.
Sure.
Auburn seemed to start... It would have been, it felt like fair catch it and take the ball at the 25 as opposed to starting inside your 15. It seemed like on almost every possession.
You got the sense that the kick return unit wanted to make a play so badly.
Yep.
Right? Like they were pressing. Like they were, you know, and somebody would make a pretty critical mistake more often than not. And like you said, when it's first and 10 at the 10 because you committed a penalty
when you have to go 85 plus brutal, yards
absolutely brutal
to get a touchdown, it's so much more difficult than even if you're at the 25.
Sure. And that's I mean, even for an offense that was pretty good between the 20s last year, mm-hmm. it's still making it harder on yourself unnecessarily. And that's something Auburn, you know, on top of the things that Auburn wants to sort of root out from last year, yeah, one would think that you know, finding any way to eliminate the special teams miscues and generate some big plays from the return game, because you seem to have players that could give you big plays,
yeah,
in the return game.
Well, it's more than just the guy with the ball in his hands. I mean, you've got to have it. And of course, Auburn has a new special teams coach this year with Chad Lunsford, who has been very successful as a special teams coach back at Auburn. So hopefully that'll be much improved this year. Just having a healthy Alex McPherson is going to be tremendous. I'm really looking forward to seeing Hudson Cock and watching him. I mean, another in the long line of Australian punters. You know, maybe we'll be able to see some on the big screen on the other end of some of his antics as well.
He's
a pretty entertaining guy.
And you know what? And I'm not closing the book on the Auburn high kid either, right?
Like, oh no, Towns.
Yeah. Like I think that folks might have.
No, I mean, he was expecting to either redshirt or perhaps just kick off some last year. Was forced in there, made a couple of big kicks, but then you miss one, and it's really difficult. The pressure that is there, he's got all the talent in the world. He's got a tremendous leg. No. I think he can still be a big, big asset for Auburn football.
Yeah, and I think we've seen Auburn kickers in the past that were thrust into action very early in their careers, and the raw tools were there, but it can wear on you mentally. It can start to become something psychological, and I don't know if that's what happened last year with Towns, but you know, it had to be a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
to keep those thoughts at bay. So yeah, I'd love to see him sort of bounce back and find what made him such a successful kicker in high school, and a guy who made six kicks and was the story of the 8A game in 24. Like, I think it'd be great to see Towns write a new chapter in his college career at some point, and that's, you know, maybe it's not this year if Alex is healthy, yeah, and ready for action, but it'd be, you know, having both those guys healthy and ready to contribute could be huge.
Oh, I agree. And I think special teams has a chance, because I think you're also going to see a lot of the youngsters that we've been talking about in the secondary and at skill spots. I think you're going to see them get an opportunity on special teams as well, and they should be able to help out in your coverage. I mean, there's a lot of speed, that Auburn can put out there.
And Pleasant as maybe the first guy. I mean, we heard from Hudson that it had been a lot of Malcolm and Eric.
Yeah, because Rayshon wasn't out there.
Right, in the spring. Right. Perry, I know, had been mentioned as well. Jeremiah Cobb for kick returns. Like, those are some names we'd heard.
Right.
But those are also, all four of those guys have big roles on the offense,
mm-hmm.
or big roles on the team. Those are guys who, like, there's a desire to see. No, all four of them are offense. I could see why Auburn wouldn't mind, depending on what Pleasant's role is. Like, I could see why Auburn wouldn't mind having a return specialist who also contributes on defense some, but it's not necessarily his primary job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be quite the competition for return roles for Auburn this year. And speaking of football, I mean, we mentioned it right at the top of the show. Auburn has added a transfer for this fall. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. We'll go ahead and get to our first break. Love for you to join in. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, so come on in here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Got Drew at the controls. Tex is hanging on, and we will talk a little bit more about the addition to Auburn football, although there is a bit of a connection. I mean, he is from the state of Louisiana. Jacoby Matthews was one of the top players in the state of Louisiana back in 2022 when he signed with Texas A&M. We'll talk a little more about his addition here in just a little while, but let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar and Tex. Hey, Tex.
Hey guys. Nice summer we got going. By the way, 50% chance of rain means 50% of the area has a chance for rain. That's by definition from the weather group.
The 50%, my question is, 50% of the area has how much of a chance of rain?
Has a chance.
I know, just a chance? That means like 1% or less? So you're saying there's a chance. That's what you're saying. Oh, okay.
That's what they're saying.
That gives themselves a lot of room there to be wrong, which I've always felt was one of the best things about.
It made me laugh when you were talking about raining in one part of the city and not in the other. The other day it was raining in my front yard but not in the backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, it does that. Well, it's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah.
Tex, we're gonna start doing the Weatherman Sports Talk Show where we just say there's a 50% chance of everything happening.
That should work. There's always a chance. So I got a few questions. The guy you were just talking about from Louisiana, there was a big stink because he went to A&M, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Ponchatoula.
Yeah. So, well, you know where Ponchatoula is, right?
Yeah, I do.
40 miles due east of Baton Rouge.
Yep.
So, guess who else is from Ponchatoula? A big, tall quarterback that we've had that's played at, what, 5 different schools?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'd forgotten about that. He's still playing.
Yes, he is still playing. I don't know how you get 22 years worth of eligibility in college football. So, any word in the transfer portal for any more pickups on the baseball team?
Have not heard anything lately, and we've got Jason coming in tomorrow. Isn't the portal is it closing today?
Yeah, I believe today is that Brian said that yesterday that the last day to enter the portal in college baseball is today.
But there are some players that are in the portal that Auburn has shown interest in. Haven't heard any updates lately. Jason will be in tomorrow, so we will we'll ask him what he's hearing on that front. I think they'd like to add another or two.
45-day window, May 26th to July 1st.
Yes, and that's the inner. And if you're in, you can still negotiate.
Oh yeah,
outside and So, all right. So the next thing is interesting to me, taking somebody this late, football wise, but we must, is there an issue in the secondary or is there a depth issue? What, why would we take a safety this late?
The only issue I would point out is that Champ Anthony is still recovering from the catastrophic leg injury that he suffered midway through last season. And he did not participate in the spring. There was optimism that Champ would be your starting star and play a lot. There is still. I've heard nothing as far as setbacks, but that yeah. would be. I think they're sort of counting on Champ to make a full recovery and play a lot. And so I'd understand sort of loading up on depth on the off chance that's not something they can do immediately. And if Champ's not available, then maybe one of the guys playing safety would be the next man up at the star or the guy they just signed. Mm-hmm. Could be the next guy up.
My thought, Tex, is it's just an opportunity to get the best player that's available out there, a guy that you didn't know was going to be available, had to go to junior college to get eligible. But he's a player that I mentioned 24/7 had him as the number two safety in the country in 2022. On Three had him as the number one safety in the country. He signed with Texas A&M, was there 2 years under DJ Durkin, and he understands the system and the terminology. I think the opportunity to get somebody of that caliber, and he was listed 6'1", 205 coming out of high school. He says he's 6'2", 215 now. You get a guy of that caliber athletically, you take him.
That's an NFL safety.
Yes, it is.
That size. So, and I had forgot that DJ Durkin was still there when he was.
Yeah, he played both of his years under DJ. Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes a great deal of sense because the adjustment period will be very short for him coming into Auburn. So. That's good. So what about Bruce Pearl's scheduling for basketball? I find it very aggressive or quite aggressive and difficult.
Well, it's not quite last year, but it's still not cake by any means.
Well, how many returning players do we have?
One.
my point would be that I would speculate – if I could, that he believes pretty strongly in the team that he's assembled and what he's seeing so far in order to put together a schedule like that.
Well, he's absolutely going to know what he has by the time conference play gets here. I don't think there's any question about that. There's talent, and I don't know. I mean, there are going to be some people that are disappointed because Auburn's going to lose it. They're going to lose a couple of games. They're going to lose some games before they get into conference, trying to figure out what the best combinations are and you know how everything fits. But I think it's aggressive, but I think it's also smart to do something like this because there shouldn't be questions as to, well, can we count on this guy? Can we count on that guy? You know, how does this combination work? I think it's going to give them opportunities. And like I said, it's not quite as difficult as last year. It's still going to be one of the tougher schedules around, but it's going to be a great one to set them up for the SEC run.
Yes. And one last question, because I know you're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Bill, did you get your email today about away games tickets?
No, I didn't see one about away game tickets today.
Oklahoma tickets are $200
a piece. Oh, I'd gotten one of those a while back. Yeah. $200 per ticket for Oklahoma. Yeah, I'd seen that.
That's it.
I was going to say, I got my reminder. So you were talking basketball. I got my reminder to renew my season basketball tickets today.
Okay, yeah. Well, luckily I met somebody recently who has 50-yard line seats at Oklahoma who invited me to go to the Auburn-Oklahoma
game. Oh, man. Hey, now. Yeah. And
so I don't have to pay $200 a seat. Gee whiz.
You need a plus one, Tex?
Yes, and her name's Cindy. Sorry.
Understandable.
Yes. when you have two athletes in the family, you very seldom have openings. it's in the off games that I'll always have a plus one, not something that's new for us. So, all right, well, I appreciate it. Sorry I hadn't been around. I've been traveling. I've been sick. I've been a little bit of everything, but
I'm glad you're back and hopefully better.
Well, I've finally gotten better.
Well, that's good.
While I was gone. So anyway, so just be careful if you're traveling and it doesn't have USA at the end. You just never know.
All right, Tex.
Hey, guys.
Good hearing from you, man.
Care.
All right, 334-321-1390.
I want to mention, Tex alluded to the non-conference schedule, Auburn playing Arizona.
Yep.
That game in December. Auburn has a game in Birmingham against Houston that a lot of folks think could be a top three team in the preseason polls. They've got Purdue, the rematch with Purdue. That game's going to be in Indianapolis, and they're in Vegas for the Players Era. Which is loaded. Yeah, I mean, teams like Gonzaga, the Iowa State, Michigan State, Oregon.
Bama's in it.
Yeah, I mean, Bama, yeah, just non-SEC teams in it. St. John's. Yeah. So some superpowers from outside the SEC, as well as Alabama and Texas A&M from the SEC. So it should be, it should be ambitious once again. Maybe not quite.
And then you got NC State.
NC State is the ACC challenge opponent. I mean, maybe not quite as ambitious as last year because last year's was as ambitious. A non-conference
more
schedule
ambitious
as,
than Auburn had ever had, or many teams have ever had.
Yeah, ever. So I mean, it's maybe not a recreation of that, but still some high quality teams, and Auburn will be battle tested when they get ready for when they start playing conference play in early January.
Yeah, so it will be like we said. I mean, it's going to be as challenging as just about anybody's.
And I think that's I would think that's the goal with Bruce. I mean, yes, you're also thinking about. I mean, last year it felt like he had we need to have the resume of a number one seed or a team to met. Like I think he had the NCAA tournament in mind with last year's non-conference schedule and getting the team. Familiar with playing the best teams across college basketball. This year's schedule, I think there's some of that, but I think Bruce, this year, it's about getting the team ready for conference play. Like, it's about getting this group ready for the kind of teams you're going to start playing when SEC play gets going.
Yeah.
And this schedule will, I think, it should do a pretty good job of giving you a taste of what you're going to see in the SEC in November and December.
I had not realized that the Players Era schedule is out as far as as the first two games, the first two nights. Auburn opens up against Oregon.
Oh, is that right?
On Monday night, November 24th. The other games, here we go. Tennessee Rutgers at 1, Baylor Creighton at 2, Kansas Notre Dame 3:30, St. John's Iowa State 4:30, Houston Syracuse at 6, Oregon Auburn at 8, Alabama Gonzaga at 9:30.
Oh, wow.
Michigan, San Diego State at 10:30, and Maryland, UNLV at midnight.
Yeah, we
that's day one.
Yeah, we just got that today, actually. Yeah. From and then a tournament rematch on Tuesday for Auburn.
Yeah,
as
Auburn
a
gets
fact.
Michigan on Tuesday night. So it's great. Like I said, I hadn't seen that. I just clicked on it. And it's like, oh wow, it's got the. Monday and Tuesday schedule there.
CBS has that in the last, those games are on TBS and TNT, and I think you can also watch them on HBO Max if it's called HBO Max yet. But that streaming service. Bama draws Gonzaga and
UNLV
in its first two games in the Players Era.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun Thanksgiving week. All right, we'll get to
teams that go 2-0.
Yep.
Go into the pool for the championship round. You could have more than 2-0 teams, but they'll figure out how to.
It's going to be based on point differential, total points scored, and points allowed, and going to use those to try to break ties. That's crazy. So I mean, just because you go 2-0 doesn't guarantee that you're playing in the. You're playing for the championship.
St. Joe's was going to be in the players' era, but instead will play two games in a three-team showcase event the same week at the Thomas and Mack Center. Its games will have NIL money attached. They'll play UNLV and Syracuse. They were bumped because they had to make some...
They made room for UNLV, gave them an odd number of teams. It wouldn't work.
That left one extra team. The plan is for St. Joe's to get to participate when they are talking about making this thing...
It's going to be like the NIT.
32
teams. Preseason NIT. Remember there was the preseason NIT? I thought that was where the NIT ought to stay. A 32-team tournament.
How about this? If they accomplish that goal, you could have group stage play like a World Cup or Olympic format with multiple weeks in multiple cities near the start of the first couple of weeks of the season.
Teams would be fighting to get in that because there's NIL money and all the publicity there's going to be for being in it.
And what those games could do to your tournament resume.
Yes.
Like, I think there's multiple reasons why this thing will be... This and copycats will become...
Yeah.
Like I would think tournaments like the Maui and Atlantis, those tournaments are going to have to evolve into something...
Yeah, they're going to have to change.
With NIL
attached. They're going to have to pay more.
Yeah, and that's probably... And then that... That suddenly turns to ESPN and broadcast networks and streamers that want that college basketball product. They're going to have to open up the checkbooks. But you know, people wondered about the players' era. It's growing. It's growing. And
yeah, it went from eight teams to it's looking at 32 for next year.
I mean, look at that slate. Yeah. You know, I mean, and all those.
I mean, man, that is what a great day of basketball that is.
And it's all Warner Brothers Each Discovery. Day. It's a WBD because I think they were involved in like the creation of it. And so those like what a huge 2 days of college basketball for TBS and TNT and HBO Max.
Oh, no question about it. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Tuesday. Again, a reminder, just one more day of our live shows here, the 7 hours of live sports here on ESPN 106.7. No Max Roundtable, no On the Line, no Drive for any of those shows Thursday or Friday. So tomorrow will be our last day before next Monday as we take off and are given some time off for the 4th of July.
And then next week is the last week we're doing before the big media days spectacular.
Yeah, that is right.
We're just, you know, it'll be 2 weeks from now when we're in the thick of it. At
2 weeks
SEC
from
Studios.
Now is All-Star Tuesday.
That's right.
And what a day. I mean, it will be.
All-Star Tuesday on the drive because it's Auburn Day.
Yep.
I mean, we'll try to track down Coach Freeze and the player representatives and everybody else that we can find. I'm sure our good buddy Justin Ferguson will be in the house, Jordan Hill as well, since they're going to the All-Star game that night. It's Georgia Day as well, so yeah. We'll talk we'll talk a lot.
Auburn Day, Georgia Day, All-Star Day,
yeah.
In Atlanta. I mean, yeah, so what a fun day that will be.
Should be an absolute blast and you know, Bill, we didn't really talk about outside of Auburn, you know, who could be in attendance. I would think that it's Arch Madness, right? I would think that he's gonna make the trip. And you know, I had someone. It does feel, and it just like when the Cavaliers were terrible, and it just happened to be the year LeBron was coming out of high school and getting ready to go in the draft. It's so strange how these things happen, where you look and like the odds on favorite to pick first next year are the Saints. And Arch Manning sitting there as the grandson of Archie. Archie and the yeah. and a lot of folks think maybe the first overall pick in the draft, depending on what kind of season he could string together. And it's amazing how those things can work out, and maybe, I mean, look, it's a lot to put on a guy who hasn't played that much college football, but mm-hmm. people are doing that because they think he's good enough. Like, people, you know, that's one of the, I think one of the stories of the SEC this year is going to be, how does Arch take to being the guy for the first time in his college football career, and how good can Texas be with Manning at the helm?
Well, the expectations are all there. I mean,
and they've got some tough games early too. So I think
they have to go on the road some this year. Their schedule's still not as difficult as some schools. They got a tremendous break as far as schedule wise last year, but they got most of their tough games were at home. Last year, they're going to have to go. They go to Athens this year,
and I want to say they draw. Don't they draw Ohio State early on? Isn't there a Texas Ohio State game early in the? I think that's right. That there's a.
I don't have the SEC.
Texas,
and Ohio State. I need the SEC helmet schedule right here in front of me.
We'll get you the helmet schedule, but Texas is in the horseshoe.
Well, that's how they open the season.
Yeah, Texas opens the season in Columbus, and that's going to be your Fox Big Noon game, the morning after Auburn Baylor.
Right.
Like it's Saturday morning. Texas is in Ohio State to get the first day. By the way, what a game! Playoff rematch to start the college football season with two teams that are recognized as two of the top three or four teams in the country going into this year, to have those two teams playing on opening day. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a fantastic way to get the season started. And what a, I mean, hey, Arch Manning, all you have to do.
Yeah, go into the shoe and win.
Reigning national champ.
They're at Ohio State, at Florida, at Georgia. Now, again, their schedule, their schedule for the first 2 years in the SEC, they did not get the most difficult opponents. They've got Oklahoma, of course, in the Red River rivalry in Dallas.
I think what hurt last year too, what helped Texas last year, was that the game against Oklahoma was one of the four road games.
Yes.
So they were playing four games in Austin, and then also had a road game.
They only left the state of Texas like twice.
Yeah, and they last went year. They and so it's a little bit different this year because they actually play four true conference road games.
They, of course, I mean, their road game.
Two of them are Kentucky and State.
Kentucky and Mississippi State.
Two of them are Kentucky.
And then they've got Vandy and Arkansas at home, as well as Texas A&M. So I mean, it has been very favorable as far as who they played, and last year especially where they played teams, but they still will be tested a few times.
Yeah, I think you got four scary games away from home on that schedule though.
Yeah, Ohio State, Florida, Georgia. Who's the fourth?
I think Oklahoma in Dallas is usually a game that gets
That's true. I mean, it's not at home, but
it's, you're right. They tend to keep it pretty neutral, even if Texas doesn't have to travel as far as Oklahoma did for the state fair. You can't lose too many of those and feel great about. I mean, what's crazy is Texas could probably lose.
They could probably lose three of them.
Probably could lose three of them. Yeah, they could. and make a compelling argument for the playoff. But I mean, yeah, that's a. I mean, I knew they had a big game. I think Michigan's Oklahoma has Michigan too. I think that's week two. So you got Texas and Ohio State playing each other. Oklahoma and Michigan play each other later on in the season. But yeah, that Texas Ohio State game to kick things off on Saturday is hard to imagine. Even Bama or Georgia, Bill, hard to imagine a bigger game you could make week one this year
than Texas Ohio State.
I mean, it would need to be Bama or it would need to be Alabama or Georgia involved. And I don't know because of Arch Manning, I don't know if Alabama or Georgia at Ohio State is necessarily bigger than Texas at Ohio State right now.
I don't think so.
I don't know if it's a bigger, I mean, like if Alabama or Georgia had a quarterback with Arch Manning's mm-hmm. star quality, maybe you'd say that week one.
But they don't.
But they don't.
No.
And Arch Manning is Arch Manning, and Texas is going to play at the reigning national champion on opening day. Now, that's a massive – I mean, I wonder how many times that's happened where very – I mean, it could be 1-2 in the preseason poll.
They could.
Like, could very well be 1-2 in the preseason poll. And I wonder how many times we've had 1-2 non-conference preseason – the preseason 1-2 playing each other in a non-conference game on opening day, in the especially a true road game, not even a neutral site sort of deal, but like,
and you know, thank goodness I think we've gone away from those neutral site, a lot of those neutral site games. It's just better to have those games played on campus.
They're more. I mean, if you can only do one, I sort of understand. Okay, you know, find a way to find an NFL stadium and meet in the middle if it's impossible for somebody to get the game back, but. You know, these schedules are flexible enough that you can usually find a return trip somewhere, even if it's not in back-to-back years. But no, I think that the Auburn Penn State is probably the example from the last couple of years of just a non-conference game where you're glad you were able to play those games even if they didn't necessarily go Auburn's way. You're glad you'd play those games in campus stadiums, like, you know, in the real homes of these teams, and not rent out an NFL stadium for the day and play it there.
Oh, yeah. So what a great way to it'll be a great weekend, Labor Day weekend, to watch all those games. But that one is definitely the marquee one. All right.
I mean, can you remember off the? I mean, I'm thinking about this, like, 1-2 in the pre, like your pre, and again, I'm not saying they're but I would, you know what, if I had to guess right now. I would probably guess Ohio State's 1 and Texas is 2 in the preseason AP or coaches poll, maybe both. I wonder how many times we've gotten, if we've ever gotten 1-2 to start the season. Like that's a, you know, it feels like that's a and you know what? I like it, and I hope we get more of it, because that's a blast of a way to kick things off.
I don't remember if it's exactly the way it was, but it was darn close in 1984 when Auburn and Miami played. After Auburn finished third, you know, and felt they should have won the national title, and Miami won the national title. Those two teams played in the kickoff classic in 84. So, I mean, yeah, but it's rare, especially for it to be a non kickoff type neutral site game.
I mean, we went a while in college football where there was, I think there was like a decade. I mean, because when Bama and LSU played in the game where they rematched in the national championship 15 years ago or so, like that was 1-2, and it was the first regular season 1-2 in a while. Mm-hmm. And they're they're usually later in the season. So that's
Auburn was number one. And I don't know where Miami was. Miami is the defending national champ, and Auburn was number one there in the 84 kickoff classic. I don't remember if Miami was two or not. I can't seem to find where Miami was ranked. But yeah. What a titanic season opener, though, that is. I think we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Tuesday Drive. Experience and